Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Our guest for the hour is our old friend and a dear one, Brother Paige Tyler, of the 12-Step Ministry for Christians, indeed for anyone. Brother Paige and I will be examining and sharing concerning Step 7 in just a few moments. First, however, we visit afresh from the Apostle Paul, his letter to the Colossian church, as found in the New Testament. We read Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Paul has been speaking prior to this particular text that we have read of the magnificence of Christ Jesus. He has already gone on record that Christ is the image of God himself, and that he is the firstborn over all that is. Everything that is the product of Christ, and becoming a part of that product when he became man in order to die on the cross. We read that God was pleased that in Christ the fullness of the Godhead, the fullness of God himself, would dwell richly within Jesus, and that as such, as fully God and fully man, Christ would effect a work of reconciliation that would entail the reconciliation of the entire cosmos, most notably that of fallen men and women, with God. And so Paul continues apace with this theme. He says in the 19th and 20th verses, "For in Christ all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." And from that, if you will, opening salvo, from that jump-off point, we now read, "And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death." You, who were once alienated, number one, hostile in mind, number two, and doing evil deeds. You know, the biblical story of which I want to think is that of the prodigal son. We know that the father of the prodigal very much loved his son. The son, however, decided to go wayward. Indeed, in the midst of his depravity, he was eating worse than were the pigs in the pigsty. But he knew that his father would receive him back. But he was alienated from his father for a season of time, however lesser or greater, we really know not. We simply know that when the fullness of the son's depravity came to be, he came to his senses and looked back to return to his father. But whatever that length of time was, there was alienation between the father and the prodigal son. It is something comparable between the Father who art in heaven, he who is holy through and through, and those of us on this planet, whatever our intentions, however good our intentions may be, it is also true that apart from Christ, apart from him, we are alienated from God, and therefore, as Paul puts it elsewhere, we are at enmity with God. God is not at enmity with us, but as Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, because of our sin condition, we are at enmity with him. We may argue against that. We may say we believe in God, but the reality is that there's a fracture, and the way of God and the way of man are two separate entities. We can seek to appropriate the imprimatur of God for our own purpose, but in the heavenlies, that does not fly. It is, we're selling ourselves a false bill of goods. We must reckon with the fracture, the alienation betwixt God and man. God has so reckoned. Therefore, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God has reckoned with that alienation, and he has sought to restore us to himself. We need to understand this, please. You know, I just read of a story, very tragic by my estimate, a man who put out a public word asking for counsel. He and his wife loved their daughter. They raised her up, loving her and providing for her, and helping to prepare the way for a prosperous future. Now at 19 years of age, the young lady is endeavoring to marry, and she has told her father that he cannot walk her down the aisle because she does not own him. Of course, she is expecting him to pay for the wedding. From my vantage point, he shouldn't pay for it, but not be out of spite, but in order to offer a very hard but sincere lesson. The young lady should be showing her father the respect of all that he put into her nurture over the years, and she's not. She needs to learn better than that. We need to learn how deeply and dearly the Father loves us. He loved us so much that he gave us life and breath. He loved us so much that he gave us Jesus. He gave his own Son over to the cross that you and I might be grafted back into or adopted into his beloved family. This is how much he loves us. But no matter how well-intentioned we may be, like the prodigal son, no matter what he endeavored to do, it was out of sorts without his father. And no matter what we do, we are out of sorts if we are walking apart from the Father. We must be restored to him in order to understand what his purpose for our lives will be or may be or is. We must be restored to him. We must be able to hear him afresh and humble ourselves before him and learn from him. That's what is an absolute and utter requisite. And that is exactly what Jesus Christ offers us. You who were once alienated and therefore hostile in your mind. You know, when husbands and wives are operating at cross purpose, they may love one another, but they're operating at cross purpose. And to that extent, there's a fracture betwixt them, and they're not working in sync. And the way of the husband shall not be the way of the wife, or vice versa. We need to be operating in unison and in synchronized form with God. You who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, that is doing things that run counter to, and therefore that are abrasive to, the holiness of God. Even good things removed from his holy sphere are now applied for selfish purpose and not for moral or ethical or more important still, spiritual purpose. It no longer brings honor to God. That is the beauty of life. The Westminster Confession of Faith has told us this. The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. We can neither enjoy nor glorify him to the extent that we are separate from him, no matter what our intentions may be. You who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, God has now reconciled in his body of flesh, God the Son, Jesus. Jesus has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. This is the work of Christ, and I personally believe that he does it with a great sense of spiritual elan. He wants nothing more than to be able to present us to the Father. and to do so in such a way that makes us look a lot better than heretofore we were apart from him. He wants us to smell and to look like roses, and by way of the shed blood of Jesus, we will be cleansed and restored and made whole. And the Bible says that we will stand before him, before the Father, as his beloved children, in order to present you holy and blameless before him, above reproach, before the Almighty. That's not possible but for God's grace. That's not possible but for the shed blood of the Savior. That's not possible but for the work of Christ, a work that began on the cross, a work that continues apace in the heavenlies. For the Bible says that Christ goes before the Father and prays for us. He is interceding before the Father on our behalf. Praise God. It is my privilege to share that with you. I pray you take it and run with it to the glory of God and to your own blessing. Hallelujah. Brad Lacey with the great message. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. And we are joined now by Brother Paige Tyler. Paige has been chomping at the bit while I was sharing the word, and he has a word to share now also, and a worthy one. We're looking at step 7 of the 12 steps for Christians, steps that are based upon biblical teachings. Paige, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you, Bradley. Thank you for the blessing of that opening. That was such a blessing, and it feeds right into this step.
Well, you are welcome on the one, and praise God on the other as he gives allowance. But what's step 7 all about, brother?
Well, step 7 is humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. And for some people, if you're just reading the big book, step 7 is just a prayer. Yeah. And what a lot of people don't realize is that the writers of the big book understood that step 7 was setting forth some precepts that implied it was something you were going to do. You're going to be doing for the rest of your life. So they give you this prayer to ask God to come into your life and to begin to remove your shortcomings. And you got to remember, in step 6, we became willing to have God remove our shortcomings. Now in step 7, we humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. Two whole steps right in the middle of the 12-step process. These are the hinge steps. The 6th step is the last of the first half of the steps. The 7th step is the first of the second half of the steps. And it is the hinge in the door that opens to the holies. The holies in your heart. It's the thing that begins now, actually, you begin removing those obstacles that have impaired your relationship with God and Christ, and begin to, now you begin to, as you like to say, breathe, bloom, and blossom, I believe.
It's gratifying to know somebody's listening. The book's coming out the end of the year. You wait for us. You'll get a signed copy.
I got you a punchline in there. And you begin to grow in the Lord right here in this step. This is why there's only a prayer in the handbook of AA, which is the handbook for someone who's just starting to in recovery. The first 164 pages is were written for a drunk, yeah, to read and say, this is something that I want. Wasn't written for someone who's a scholar. It was written directed at a drunk, and it's a beginning, intended to be a beginning, not an end of all doings. And in fact, one of the big tragedies is when you find 12 steppers who, that's as far as they got is the 12 steps. Oh, some of them got to the 13th step, and we won't talk about that on this show.
One can infer.
But they never got to what I call the real 13th step, and that is the real 13th step is the first step of the church. And that is now coming in a redeemed Christian who's in the work of the Lord. You that 12, in that 12th step, you became a warrior for Christ to redeem other alcoholics from alcohol and drug addiction. If you continue down this path, you will become a warrior for Christ to redeem other sinners from the sin substance that is destroying our world.
One of the great privileges I've known, Paige, over 34 going on 35 years of ministry, and this is not to be obsequious or sycophantic, but one of the great privileges for me has been working with a guy like you who understands that you have been saved and accordingly blessed in order to serve and to accordingly bless others. You know?
Exactly.
And it seems to me that if they're converting step seven, and you'll understand, and I want to explain so the audience does, merely to convert this into merely make it a prayer. You and I know that prayers, even in church settings, church services, they can become speeches, they can become ritualized, they can become words that we're mouthing, but our hearts are cold. It seems to me that if all step seven is a prayer, all we're doing is stepping over one of the most significant steps that there is to be applied.
Exactly. Yeah. So, well, I call these are my hop, skip, and jump steps.
Yeah.
You know, we hop over step six, we skip step seven, and jump into step eight.
Yeah.
Because in step six and step seven are our relationship with God steps. And what they're intended to do in the AA 12-step program is to begin a relationship with God. Here at the hinge point, we're at the hinge point. Up until step five, we were working on our own mess and coming to reconcile with ourselves the mess we made out of our lives. Step six is recognizing it. Step seven is turning it over to the care of God as we understand him. And then that proceeds on with the rest of the steps, which are now done with the aid of God. I feel so sorry when I watch the people in my own program who are out there doing their ninth step work without the Spirit of the Lord.
Well, you know, we see this in the church, Paige. Again, 34 going on 35 years worth of ministry. I even had a situation arise earlier today. Someone who sought my counsel, there's been some difficulty. And what's it, and not the person who sought me, thankfully, but what's at issue is someone else within the fold who no doubt has the best of intentions, but the fact of the matter is there's fracture betwixt the two individuals over several issues. And what is happening is there's a refusal to humble oneself before the truth of the matter. And, yeah. You know, we have a lovely fellowship. I refer to our church as our lovely little fellowship. But that does not belie the fact that over nearly 35 years of experience and observation, I have found that you can probably count on two hands, and you don't need all 10 fingers, to litanize the number of people who actually have confessed sin and repented. You know, it's not the favored position, even in the church. Right?
And right, exactly.
And here you have to humble yourself.
Humble yourself and truly repent.
Right, right.
That's the whole idea here. These next steps that we're going to follow through over the next few months is the process of true repentance.
Right, right.
That is understanding how I hurt you, changing my life so that I don't hurt you that way again, and then going to you and saying, I know what I did. I'm sorry I ever behaved like that. And this I'll tell you, I will never be that way again.
And isn't it true, and we'll pick up on the other side of the break, isn't it true that when that kind of thing plays out, oftentimes the relationship will be so strengthened, it's infinitely better than it had been. Praise
exactly.
God. Yeah. But, brother, we do have to break. And Paige Tyler and Brad Lacey with the great message, we gladly come back in just a few moments. Thank you. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler of the 12-Step Ministry for Christians, indeed for anyone who would wish to benefit by the substance of the gospel, returning for another round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210. WPHT. Brother, picking up afresh, I mean, the beautiful thing, you look at the biblical record. In the garden, we were innocent, but in Christ, we are righteous. That's a step up. Yeah, and we do the requisite work, and we're reconciled to people we've hurt, and they can see the difference in our lives and the sincerity of our intent. That's going to produce an upgrade at a certain point.
It produces
point.
A huge, and it is infectious. It is as infectious as was our negative, destructive behavior. It infects entire families, just as the alcoholic, drug addict behavior destroys entire families. The actual process of recovery rebuilds and reconstitutes whole families and brings them back together. You only need this one person in the family to start it. When I came into the program, it's getting too many years for me to quote how many years it is now because it makes me really old. But it's well over. It's well into its third decade, and I had a family full of drunks and partygoers. You know, my stepdad owned the IPI club in West Philadelphia, and I hung out there regularly. Hey, I was going to church regularly too, but I was going to IPI club regularly as well. And this process, as this process has unfolded, I look now and I see these three decades later, and almost all of my family is in the church. Almost all of my family has given up that lifestyle. And almost all of my family now professes Christ as their Lord and Savior.
I relate to this. Not so the details are different, but my lovely daughter and I, we were chatting the other night. We always got it. I mean, my stepdaughter, who is my daughter, we're very close. Since my beautiful wife passed, we've grown more deeply together as father and daughter. We even did our first father-daughter thing. Back in April, we went out to Reading to see Chicago. It was a great night. Would have been better if Earth, Wind, and Fire was doubling up with them, right? I know you've seen them together. But we had a beautiful evening, and we were chatting the other night, and I was just coming clean with her, some things that had played out many, many years prior. And I just wanted her to know what was going on beyond simply what she saw. And it was a desire to further cement what's been playing out. And she listened to me so openly and beautifully. And every time we have these talks, that we just the relationship deepens and predicated upon something that back then was very awkward has become something now very, very beautiful. I mean, just so very beautiful. But you have to be honest. You have to confess. You have to humble yourself. You have to listen openly. You have to put aside the pride and the self-righteousness.
There is nothing more reviving than to look someone straight in the eye, clear-eyed, and be honest and truthful with them about who you are.
Yes.
There's nothing more clarifying and cleansing than that.
Yes.
And cleaning up a relationship between two people.
And in another vein, a relationship that I have that didn't require cleaning up, but just a deeper understanding of one another. A situation arose, and I needed to do something that was abrasive to someone else. And I said, you know, my reply was, for me to actually be sitting here talking with you this openly, I needed to seek the counsel of somebody else who I trusted in order that we could have this. You might not require it, but I did. And my friend heard that with such clarity and accepted it. And my friend even said to me, I trust you even more now. So just that, that honesty, even when it's not confessing a sin, you know, but we're acknowledging our finitude and our needs. Sure.
Right. Well, we live in a world where most people are being dishonest almost all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I used to call it my fake face.
Yeah.
You know, I put on a face and I went to work. And I would actually go through this metamorphosis in the car on the way home from work. I would go from this metamorphosis and I'd go from this business guy to this guy who grew up in Germantown and loved to hang out. And I would go, that was another metamorphosis. Then I'd go to another metamorphosis when I went to church on Sunday. I would wear these fake faces off and on. And very rarely did anybody ever see the true page. No one ever saw the real me, not even me.
Right.
I'd gotten so used to being fake until when I looked in the mirror, all I saw was the fake image of me.
Yeah.
So this whole process of walking through the steps not only made me honest with others, it made me honest with myself about who I really am.
Absolutely. Well, you know as well as I, brother, I'm not meaning to be derisive of a whole class of people of which I am one, but how often do we encounter, especially clergy, who are wearing religious masks and they're not presenting a real existential existence to people. They're wearing a religious mask. To my mind, it's frightening.
Yeah.
Because I'm a human being. I represent Christ. I'm called to a higher standard, but I'm still a human being. So I want to have honest, authentic relationship with people, right? I mean, and so many clergy lack that, either because people are expecting them to wear that mask, maintain a certain deportment that's from 150 years ago that has nothing to do with Jesus, or they're afraid to be themselves. It may cost them their ecclesiastical preferments.
Exactly.
Being oneself means we reckon with our sin and lay it at the foot of the cross, but we pick up something so much more wonderful.
You talk about the clergy. I've seen whole churches that are wearing the mask.
Oh, yeah. Sure, sure.
And you know, the worst one is the person who is wearing the mask all week long. They're badgering people with the Bible, but in the same vein, they can't even be kind to their fellow workers.
Yeah.
Or the people who they live with. Or the people, you know, they claim Christ, but their behavior, and they'll beat you up with that Bible, let you do something wrong, and boy, they got it right out there. But being kind and gentle and tolerant of other people.
Funny, I was just listening to a preacher. I caught him on, you know, these Facebook reels. You get snippets, you know. And so I'm listening to this snippet of one.
I hate those things.
Yeah, I know. One very well-known preacher, and he spent all of his snippet lambasting another well-known preacher.
Now, oh, God.
That other well-known preacher, I would agree, has some problems. But the guy doing the lambasting, I'll tell you right now, has some problems. All right? And I'm thinking, look yourself in the mirror. I mean, it's just, my goodness, it's just frightening. But when you meet fellow believers who are authentic, that gives allowance for the beauty of Christ to shine through. I was just with Father Dennis Gill at the Basilica of St. Peter and Paul on the Parkway here in Philly. He's become a very dear friend of mine. You know, whatever differences may exist between Catholics and evangelicals doctrinally, I'll tell you right now, in that man, the Spirit of Christ dwells so powerfully that he radiates. You encounter Christ when you encounter Father Dennis Gill. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I don't want a wall betwixt us because on certain points of doctrine, I'm not minimizing the importance of doctrine, but truth in confluence with love is what God has called us, you know, to be mindful of. Here is a man in whom Christ dwells. If I'll put it this way, and I say this with respect to my Catholic brethren, I'm just making a point. If as an evangelical I disagree on a couple of particulars of their theology, if the Spirit of Christ is willing to dwell in Father Dennis Gill, I can only hope he's willing to dwell in me with my own errors and problems, right?
Amen.
Praise God for the example this dear man sets.
Yeah, when did one of us get, when did any of us hang on a cross?
And well, exactly.
How dare we judge another Christian?
Absolutely.
You know? And I don't want to hear that quote from the Bible that, don't you know, we will judge all the earth. That's in our glorified bodies. That's not in these evil, fallen, degenerate bodies that we have here on earth. Right. We don't have that power here.
That is correct. By the way, I just want to add, and I hope you're around for it, Father Gill, who has become my very dear friend, and he's been on this broadcast several times, and he's read the Gospel of John for Voices of Philadelphia. He'll be reading the prophet Isaiah. We're bringing him to First Baptist Conchi to give a luncheon talk, probably in August. And it'll be such a joy to have him. But Brother Page, one more round on the other end of one more set of advertisements. Brad Lacey and Brother Page Tyler with the great message. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey and Brother Page Tyler returning with one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Brother, insofar as some of the specific applications of this step that we humbly bring ourselves before God and we ask Him to remove our shortcomings, I like what the book says, The 12 Steps for Christians. It says two things that catch my attention. Number one, it says that we do this step, we work this step on our knees, which means that we are prayerfully disposed.
Right.
But then it says that when we learn to humbly ask God for His help, change becomes God's responsibility. We cannot accept the credit, but we can give thanks. So humbling ourselves means both confessing our need on the one and giving the work over to God on the other to do.
Exactly. Exactly, because trying to change your own character defects is like trying to operate on your own appendix.
Yeah, right. it's good luck to you.
Good luck to you. Give it over and trust in the physician, the expert. Turn it over to God. Ask God. To remove your defective organs. And now the organs we're talking about here are psychological and mental, mostly.
Yeah. Yes. You know, it was, of course, 4 years ago, last month, that I went out to the Mayo Clinic for life-threatening, life-transformative surgery. The surgery was successful. I returned home that very weekend. I'm all but a dead man because my heart went into a reaction. But what I had to do was literally to entrust my life and my heart muscle to a man by the name of Dr. Hartzell V. Schaff, who I had never met before, who was probably in his late 70s. And, you know, he's getting up there in years. So, you know, his stamina could be in question. But what I discovered when I met him was not only was he conserved every ounce of energy he had so that it could all be channeled into the surgery. So he was a man of very few words, but I looked at his hands. They did not shake. They were immobile, even in the air. That's how gifted this guy. I entrusted my life to the one guy in the entire Western world who could take care of me, and he came through with flying colors. That's what we do with God.
Exactly, exactly. We put that same kind of unfailing trust in God, handing over our character defects, confessing them. Hey, God, I got a heart problem. I think we all got a heart problem.
Yes.
Yeah. And I need it fixed. And we turn it over to God and let God do the work. and God does an operation on us. It takes years for him to do it his way, because I wanted it done right away.
Yeah.
Hey, God, I asked you to fix this a long time ago. Why isn't it fixed? Well, not yet.
Right. No, exactly. Two comments. The one is a humorous quip to make a point. What does God the Almighty have in common with the wrestler of yours, Stan the Man Stasiak? They both have a killer hot punch, but the one is for redemptive purpose, right? You know? But the other thing, however, that I was going to say, and I say this with humility, I say it with gratitude, I say it with joy, and I'm only just beginning. But all that I've had to go through over these past 5 years, with my own cardiac ordeal, with my wife's cancer and her passing from this world, difficulties in the church, we could go down the list. But how God was at work, brother, and through it all, I had no choice but to humble myself and to entrust myself into his care. And I have to tell you, 48 years next month, I asked God, 48 years ago next month, I asked him to do something. 48 years later now, I am that the answer has finally come to fruition. I have become, by my estimate, early stages, but I believe that I have finally now, by God's grace, become the man he called me to be and the man I asked him to be 48 years ago. Now, I'm saying early stages, and right. Screw-ups can be galore, but I give God the glory. Yes, it can take a lifetime. That's what you're saying.
Exactly. It took me, I needed to be able to see these faults
right.
for what they really were.
Yeah.
Because I had masked them up as rationalizations and excuses and reasons why it was okay.
Yeah.
You know, because what they did to me,
yeah,
that's why I'm doing it to them.
Right.
They cut me off on the highway, I'm running them off the road.
You know, if you, I just have to be honest with you. That's very impressive. If you could have somehow channeled that into Dr. J and Moses back in 81, you know, Larry Bird would never have made a reputation, all right? It took a few years before you could do this, Page.
It was too late.
Alas for the Sixers, right?
Yeah, yeah, right. It's going to fall apart by the time I figured out how to do it.
Oh, my. You know, praise God. He is so patient with us. And you know, praise God, we can be patient with ourselves as well.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, when I look back over the long haul, the long trek, it is all worth it.
Yes.
It is all worth it. Yeah. And you know, I remember Solomon said that it's all dross or it's all worthless. And now he was speaking about the things of the earth.
Yes.
But when you look at the things of the spirit, and when you start regaining the value of the things of the spirit, and you look over your shoulder, even though it is a long, hard haul, it is all worth it.
Well, I believe it's what is true for the Christian by virtue of God's mercy and grace. I'll say this. Christians, in ultimate terms, we are the only ones on the planet. If we suffer, we don't suffer for nothing. By God's mercy and grace, his redemptive effort is brought to bear. And he will take that which is evil and make it for our good. And you and I have both experienced this. My beautiful wife, Peggy, knew this as it was a core dictum. What was meant for our evil, God parlays into our good. All things work to the good for those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. You're one of the primary expressions I know of this truth.
Yeah, it wasn't for my worst nightmare, I wouldn't be here today.
Yeah.
Talking to you.
Yeah. And you know what? I have to be honest with you, Paige, if we're talking honesty. Remember that church your wife drove into the parking lot and something told you not to go in?
Yeah.
I happen to know, because I knew the church, if you had gone in there, they would have chewed you up and spit you out.
conceal it from the parking lot.
Because they wouldn't know the real you. They'd only know the mask. That's all you'd want to give to them, actually.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, but praise God, you are. And I say this, you know, we've been friends for years, but you are one of the most authentic men I've ever known, and you bring that to bear to the glory of God and to the blessing of others. God bless you.
Well, that's the whole purpose, and that's what the 12 steps teach us to do. And we're beginning to learn this second part here, starting in the seventh step, which is to humble ourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up.
I love it. Praise God. We'll give that as the closing word. Praise God. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler, we bid you God's blessing. Do take care. Thank you.